You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And then there were two, as the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots are the last two teams left standing. Super Bowl 51, now 13 days away. New England Patriots, -3, total sitting at 58 right now, which incidentally is the highest total in Super Bowl history. A close second, actually. There were 57 and a half up on the board 7 years ago when the Saints played the Colts. For the record, that game stayed under the number. We're going to break it down with Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts, will join us. We'll talk about the Super Bowl numbers, as well as a big Monday tonight. College basketball, ESPN's got a doubleheader. We'll break down the Longhorns and the Sooners. We've got some interesting basketball games on tap this evening in the NBA as well. Paul Bovey will join us. We'll talk some NBA basketball as well as the Super Bowl 51 numbers that have been posted. Unfortunately, tragic news from the world of Major League Baseball yesterday. Andy Marte and Yordano Ventura both passed away in separate automobile accidents. Yordano Ventura, of course, just 25 years old, World Series champion with the Kansas City Royals. A polarizing figure, actually. And, you know, when somebody passes away, we always hear after the fact that they were the greatest guy in the world. Basically, everybody's the greatest guy in the world. And the Kansas City Royals are very shaken up by this, and understandably so. They loved him. Yordano Ventura, sort of like Claude Lemieux was in hockey. Yordano Ventura, probably the most like disliked baseball player in the bigs. But I think right now, it puts it in perspective for Major League Baseball players, actually, and thinking, you know what? Yeah, this guy threw at my head once, but, you know, he passed away. I thought it was pretty classy of Marcus Stroman of the Toronto Blue Jays, actually, to offer his condolences. Big rivals, and, you know, Yordano Ventura got into it with the Jays a lot. You know, the kid was just a lot of fun, man. He was a lot of fun. You know, when Yordano Ventura was pitching, you knew it was going to be an entertaining game. Like, he's one of those dudes, he'd say, yeah, I'll pay to see him pitch. You know, great pitcher, but electrifying. Young Pedro wasn't scared of anybody. So rest in peace, Yordano. We're gonna talk about Yordano Ventura with Andrew Patterson, otherwise known as a Hustler. Hustler and Lawless, TSN 1290. Hustler's also the host of the Winnipeg Jets pregame show. And incidentally, the Winnipeg Jets. Is he the host of the New York Jets or the Winnipeg Jets? It's the Winnipeg Jets. Speaking of Jets, it feels like I'm in an airport here. Hey, will you guys shut up? We're on live TV here, huh? Yeah, please. Oh, thank you. It's like a freaking party going on out here every day. Like, who ruined my Sunday? It's like, who ruins my Monday? People yapping when I'm trying to do a live television show. That's who ruins my Mondays, all right? But what was I talking about anyways? Yeah, Yordano Ventura. Rest in peace. And our boy Hustler's going to join us here. We'll talk some Winnipeg Jets and Anaheim Ducks. They're on the board here this evening. So, speaking of who ruined my Sunday, it's time for Who Ruined My Sunday. Unfortunately, somebody did ruin my Sunday this week. Last week, we stood here, and it was great. We told you nobody ruined our Sunday. Well, we all know that I picked the Atlanta Falcons to win the NFC before the playoffs started. Pretty good, plus 450. Falcons got it done. Yeah, but I also said the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win the AFC, and it's sort of like having a lottery ticket. Yeah, you don't get paid if you only have three of the six numbers. So yeah, I got half of it right, but man, I was feeling pretty good early yesterday as I had the Falcons to win the NFC. I laid the points with the Falcons. I took the over in the game. I teased the Falcons. I took a couple of in-game overs when the game wasn't going anywhere. It dropped to as low as 50 at one point. Hammered a bunch of in-games. You know, the Atlanta Falcon Green Bay Packer game went exactly the way I thought it was going to go, but I couldn't resist. You know, I really wish that the Patriots Steeler game was first, because I wouldn't have loaded up on it, and then I would have creeped up into the Falcon game. I loved the Falcon game. I loved the Falcons. I didn't love the Steelers. I liked the Steelers. It's like, do you love me? Sure, I love you, baby, like I love Fresca. I liked the Steelers. I loved the Falcons. Any smart man, but I'm not a smart man, would have just loaded up on a game that he loves and then sort of went light. That's what I did last week. Last week, we ran the freaking table. I liked Pittsburgh, but it was a tough game against Kansas City. I didn't load up on it, and then after the fact, I won, and I was pissed I didn't load up on it. So, hey, here we are. Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, we were in the game until about after the national anthem was finished. Unfortunately, I was unaware that the Pittsburgh Steelers' defensive game plan was to play a soft-ass zone and have their DBs line up like 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. Unfortunately, I didn't know that head coach Mike Tomlin was more concerned about the flu, fire alarms, and Antonio Brown's stupid-ass video than he was coming up with a proper game plan. Mike Tomlin, 1-5 against Bill Belichick coming into this football game. Well, now make it 1-6, and I'm not shocked. At the half, Mike Tomlin was asked, any adjustments to make? Anything you guys have to do in the second half? He said, no, we just have to keep on working hard. Keep on working hard is like smashing your head against a brick wall and being surprised when you're bleeding. Yeah, don't worry, we'll crash through this wall eventually. Proper preparation prevents poor performance, coach. What was the damn game plan? I know Le'Veon Bell got hurt. It doesn't matter, all right? Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Jim Brown, and Le'Veon Bell could have been in the backfield yesterday, and they would have been throwing freaking fade patterns to Kobe freaking Hamilton. Because I know if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers on a critical 3rd and 8, then I'm going to try to throw the ball to Jesse James. Antonio Brown was double-teamed. I didn't know that Rex Ryan was coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. You guys can't punch it in last week against the Kansas City Chiefs and you survive. You get into the red zone numerous times and it's the same ass crap. Maybe if you have 3 timeouts, you could take a timeout and talk about it and go, you know what, this is kind of important. We better get 7 out of this. No, they don't take a timeout. Meanwhile, you have the New England Patriots taking timeouts because they want to get the damn ball back before the end of the half. So they take timeouts and incidentally put themselves in a bad spot. It's 3rd and 7. The Steelers got a field goal. They could have come up with a stop again and maybe scored again before the end of the half. They had 3 freaking timeouts. They had 3 timeouts. Did he use them? No. Mike Tomlin showed up to lose. Belichick showed up to win. Shocking developments, right? Over and over. You know what? Terry Bradshaw says a lot of stupid things. But him saying that Mike Tomlin is not a great coach and he's just a cheerleader is actually, well, it's right and it's wrong. Because I think cheerleaders are smarter and I know they're hotter than Mike Tomlin is. But the bottom line is, Tomlin is a good locker room guy. Tomlin is a good players coach. They like him. But his X's and O's are absolutely comically pathetic. The only thing more pathetic than the Pittsburgh Steelers game plan yesterday was Johnny Manziel posting videos of himself in the parking lot wearing a Tom Brady jersey and then throwing it down in the upper deck of the stadium. Hey, that's all cool. That's all good. But for a guy who just went on a Twitter rampage last week, saying about how he's seen the light, he wants to play football, he's not drinking, and he's getting in shape again. No, he didn't look wasted at the game. And hey, you want to go to a football game sober, there's nothing wrong with that. But, hanging around in the parking lot, posting videos of you and Tom Brady jerseys, I don't think it's impressing, the New England Patriots to sign you, is it? that's besides the point. But honestly, I think Johnny Manziel actually would have punched the ball in the end zone from the 3-yard line. And in fact, I think Johnny Manziel would have called a better game than Todd freaking Haley. You got 3rd and 1 early in the game. Yeah, let's go deep. Big Ben Roethlisberger off once again. The Pittsburgh Steelers played with the freaking intensity of a Sacramento King regular season game. There was no urgency whatsoever. But don't worry, because they worked hard. All right? Working hard without a plan will get you absolutely freaking nowhere. The Pittsburgh Steelers ruined my Sunday. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, we got a stacked show today. Andrew Hustler Patterson is going to join us in a couple of moments. We'll talk about the tragic passing of Yordano Ventura. It's been a tough off season in the Major League Baseball world, coming on the heels of the passing of Jose Fernandez as well. Paul Bovey will join me. We'll talk some NBA basketball with Paul Bovey as well as the Super Bowl. We're talking Super Bowl with everybody. We're not locking in anybody's selections right now, 13 days away. Ashley Dockin putting me in the hot seat earlier today, asking for my Super Bowl selection. Told if we give the pick now, Ashley, like, it's called, you know, come on, you got to build up to the Super Bowl. We start with some props and we get there. And honestly, we all know that I've been riding the Falcons. I've been soaring, rising up and soaring with the Falcons pretty much all season long. But with that being stated, it's 3 points and it's the New England Patriots. And, you know, this, I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I really think of like Carolina. I said this a couple of times, that Atlanta remind me of Carolina last year. You get these teams, they kill it. But you get a really hot offense. Now they're going to be off for a couple of weeks. It's like the College Bowl stuff. All right. Like the bye week advantage Belichick. And as a Buffalo Bill fan, and of course, you know, the way that it had to play out, the Buffalo Bills were in a similar situation as the Atlanta Falcons were in 1991, in which the Buffalo Bills were scoring a ton of points. They beat the Miami Dolphins at home. They beat the Raiders 51-3 in the AFC Conference Championship game. They were 6.5, 7-point favorites over the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. But, of course, that was the first ever Super Bowl that there was a damn bye week. And guess who the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants is at that time? Bill Belichick. So we gave Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells 2 weeks to come up with a plan to slow down the K-gun offense. And the K-gun became a pop gun. And the Giants won 20-19. Who's the head coach now? Oh, yeah, Bill Belichick. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, Gabe?
I'm getting fired up, Steve. I was already kind of in a bad mood due to the Steeler game, and I was revving it up, and I got people yelling in the hallway here. I don't know. It's like you're some joke or something. Like, let's start making more noise at 2 o'clock every day. I'm pretty loud. I don't know if I can yell any louder than I do. People ask me, why do you yell on TV so much? So I can hear myself.
I don't hear it in the background, so that's a good thing.
I know. That's all that matters, right?
That's right. The other 99.9% involved with this show don't hear it. So it might just be in your head. You know, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, there are voices in my head. They're uncensored voices, right, in my head. All right. So you know what? I don't want to live in the past too much. We'll forge forward here because I'm about to have a heart attack. So Falcons win and cover. Game goes over. Patriots win and cover. Game goes over. The over players have been cashing in. Kind of a sweat job, though, with that Falcon-Packer game. It didn't look like it was going to get there early. And then, you know, the floodgates opened up. And now we have our highest Super Bowl total ever posted, Steve, with the 58 on the board.
And it's funny, it doesn't even seem that high to me, you know? I mean, we talked about, I guess when it hits that key number of 60, it looks big. But we see so many 50s now in the NFL and obviously in college football. I mean, we see 80s and 90s almost that, 58.5 doesn't look as high as it really is, I guess.
You know, it's interesting, though. This is the second highest total. The other one was 7 years ago with the Colts and the Saints. Watch that game at the Sahara in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was a disaster of a day, and I'm glad that the Sahara is no longer standing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think the Sahara is there anymore, is it?
No, you know you're getting old when you're outlasting these casinos in Vegas, Steve. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah. I stayed right at the Stardust in 94, I think, the first time I was out there, and that's not there anymore either, so, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too. I remember when the Giants beat the Patriots last time, like 3-4 years ago, whatever it was. I actually watched that game. Brian Blessing was hosting a show in the Debbie Reynolds ballroom at the Clarion Hotel. Yeah. Well, the Clarion's gone. Debbie Reynolds is gone. And my money's gone. gone too.
But Patriots and Belichick are still here.
I didn't even realize that though, Steve. When Debbie Reynolds recently passed away, I was like, you know, Debbie Reynolds, she played in Vegas a lot actually. And I looked it up. I was like, Debbie Reynolds, Vegas. And then I see Debbie Reynolds Ballroom, and she actually bought the Clarion and she built that theater and stuff. And I'm like, holy crap. That's where I watched the game with Blessing when the Giants beat the Patriots years ago.
That was Carrie Fisher's mother, right?
Yeah, Princess Leia's mother. And
yeah, I mean, she literally died like a couple days after Carrie Fisher died. I mean, I don't think, you know, that was
2 days. 2 days later.
Right. Yeah. Sad.
Pretty crazy. So here we are right now. So, yeah. But anyway, so that game stayed under the number 7 years ago. 31-17 final score under the number, Steve, the last time the highest Super Bowl total. Another thing, without reading any databases, the Morenci database. And of course, this stupid game had to be a pick 'em because it makes it harder in explaining everything, Steve. But out of the last 5 Super Bowls, the underdog has won 4 of them, with the exception of the Seahawks and the Pats, which was a pick 'em. So you and I have often talked about how the point spread doesn't really mean anything in the Super Bowl. And case in point, the underdogs actually won outright the last 4 times, with the exception of that pick 'em game.
Yeah, but isn't it appropriate that the Patriots-Seahawks was a pick 'em? Because it's really hard to argue who won that game.
I know.
New England probably should have won that game, and they lost on the scoreboard.
Well, can we be like Sean Spicer and Donald Trump? Seahawks won that game, period. Pay me.
If there's ever a game that should have been a pick 'em, it was that one, because I'm still not sure who really won that game. So.
I know, but it screws up the stats, Steve. You know,
it does.
I didn't say that. Like, oh, yeah, 4 of the last 5 Super Bowls, with the exception of one of them, was a pick 'em. But it's ironic, because now the point. So, I mean, you can make that argument, actually. You know, if you like the Falcons, just take the money line. But not so fast, Steve, due to the fact that the Patriots have won 4 Super Bowls. 3 of those wins were by 3 points. The other one was by 4 points.
Yeah, I know. And the reason, the way I like to phrase it, and this will help you the rest of the week, is that the point spread really matters in the Super Bowl. There's only been, 4 or 5 times in 50 years that the team that won didn't cover. That's the easier way to explain it, because that's all that matters. Like you're saying, the dogs are winning outright or the pick 'em, it doesn't matter, obviously. So it is ironic that the most dominant team in recent NFL history, this Patriot franchise, has been the one that's played the closest Super Bowls. Because throughout the 80s and 90s, you know, back in the heyday of the Bills losing all those Super Bowls, as you know, Gabe, when the Redskins won all those Super Bowls, they were mostly double-digit blowouts.
Yeah.
The Cowboys blew them out. The Giants game was close that first time. But that was 2 teams, New York and Buffalo, that didn't have a lot of Super Bowl experience. The Giants had been there like 4 years earlier. Bills had never been there. I think you brought up a really good point here at the opener about the experience factor. This is the most experienced team in coaching and quarterback history in the Super Bowl against a team that basically has no experience other than the head coach, Dan Quinn, you know, having maybe a little bit of assistant coach experience. Matt Ryan had the best season of any quarterback, but do you really want to take him over Tom Brady in a Super Bowl? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and you got Belichick with 2 weeks to prepare for this now as well.
Right.
Like, it just, not to mention the Falcons are a young team, man. You know, Matt Ryan's been around, their O-line, you know, a couple of guys have been around, Julio Jones has been around. So I don't think they're overwhelmed and scared by the moment.
I don't know. They haven't been in this game, though.
I know. And the thing is, though, they got a ton of first and second year kids on defense. And I saw them yesterday, and I don't want to hold their joy against them. But even Devontae Freeman, man, we go into the Super Bowl, you know, and it seems to me they're going to enjoy it too much. You know, they're going to soak in all this media stuff and all this and filming and oh, and this and that. Patriots, it's a business trip. You know, they've been there, they've done it. They've been through this before. You know, it's tough. Like, you know, I want to say Atlanta wins, but I think there might be value with the Patriots -3 here, Steve.
Here's the best example of what you're talking about, Gabe. As the game's in last night, I'm already doing my prop research, so I take the old DVR recordings of the 2 games that I have, of course, and I watch the Gatorade colors. The Falcons dumped what looked like lime Gatorade. Now, this is tricky because it looked like it was yellow, but it was lime, so I guess that counts as green. So anyway, the Falcons dumped green Gatorade, and then I watched the Patriots, and I don't see them dump it, and Belichick never looks wet, and I'm 99% sure they did not dump Gatorade on Belichick. And it might sound like a silly point, but then I started thinking, this is a perfect example of the mindset of these two teams right now. You're exactly right. I mean, the Falcons are sky high. The Patriots are like, now we're in the Super Bowl. They didn't even celebrate. They didn't even dump Gatorade on their coach. A totally different mindset. I did notice that last night as I was actually checking the Gatorade colors.
And did you notice Robert Kraft was hammered? So what's the deal with this? I didn't see anything this morning, actually. I should have checked.
I didn't see that.
It was either he's hammered or he had a stroke on TV.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't tell at that age.
No, but that was the thing. And I, at first, I was like, I don't want to say it. And the guy might have been have a situation here. But no, he was just hammered because they would have said after, Robert Kraft is okay, whatever. But I only bring that up because he was on the verge of saying, we're playing for something bigger right now. And not only that, it's like, the Patriots are playing the Falcons. The Patriots are playing Roger Goodell. They're playing the NFL. They're pissed about the Deflategate. They're pissed that Brady's been embarrassed by this. They're pissed that Brady was suspended by this. And say what you will about their whatever motivates them, but we talk about this every year. And I'm a Bills fan, and even I'm like to the league, stop picking on them. You're just making them angrier all the time. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. And the fact that they lost as a favorite at Denver in the conference championship last year is another chip on their shoulder. The Falcons are sky high to be here. I don't care what they say. They obviously want to win the Super Bowl, but this has been a huge successful season. New England will not feel like this is a successful season unless they win this next game.
All right, Steve. So we'll talk about the Super Bowl once again, you and I, three more times. We'll talk later in the week. Hopefully the props start to get released a little bit sooner rather than later, Steve. When do the props normally come out?
With the bye week, it's going to be later this week. We'll have them by Friday's show, I would think, but we might not have them till Thursday or Friday.
That's what I'm thinking. I was going to say,
there's just no hurry. Yeah, they just don't have a hustle with the extra week.
And also, Steve, they don't like posting the props too early because they get beat on them.
Right. Well, Gabe, not betting the props. Yeah, I mean, Joe Public is not betting them this weekend even.
But a sharp guy that bets props sees it and he sees, oh my God, it's only 22.5, and he hammers it for 1,000. Right.
Right. So it's like, what's the hurry to get them up on Wednesday or Thursday? Because no matter when they get them up this week, they're going to get hammered. So try to get a couple more numbers right. I did see the MVP props, by the way. Brady and Ryan are both, Brady's almost even money. Ryan's like plus 180. Everybody else is like 14, 15 to 1. Edelman and Julio Jones are 14 and 15 to 1. So we always talk about the quarterback and the winning team. But if there's ever a Super Bowl, it's hard to imagine. We have the Brady factor and maybe people not liking him, but then again, it's hard to imagine either one of these teams winning without the quarterback playing well, especially when the over-under is 58.5 on the game.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, we'll get to that discussion. If Matt Ryan's plus 180, who else is going to be the MVP? Even if Julio Jones has 4 touchdowns, they're thrown to him by Matt Ryan.
And Edelman's the other favorite. Edelman's 15-1. How does Edelman get 3 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if you like the Falcons, why take it a plus 125, plus 130 or whatever it is? You can get Matt Ryan to MVP. Plus 180. All right, we got 3 minutes and 3 basketball games to talk about, Steve. North Carolina State and Duke. Duke 3-3 straight up and against the spread without Coach K, coming off a win and cover the other night against the Hurricanes from Miami. The Packers struggling on the road right now, but they're still 13-7. They're 11-6 to the over. I don't know, Steve. 16.5 feels too high for me in this game.
Yeah, Duke has not been a very good point spread machine. They did cover barely by a few baskets against Miami, as you said, on Saturday, but this is still a team that's just 8-10 against the number this year, just 5-4 at Cameron. NC State, a very good offensive team. They shoot 48%, score 82 points a game. Maybe that's enough to keep it within the touchdown and a half.
Oklahoma and Texas, kind of a train wreck tonight. what do you make of this one? Woodward's back for the Sooners now.
Yep.
They're scoring. I think there could be some points put up on the board in this game, actually.
Yeah, Oklahoma's been a play-on team for me. I used them last Saturday as a won outright at home, and then I used them on last Wednesday. They won outright as a 17-point dog at West Virginia in overtime, and I kind of knew that maybe took away some value, and then they lose in double overtime as a 1-2-point favorite this past Saturday, but still a play-on team. They're much better than their overall season numbers indicate, as they're now healthy.
All right, and finally, in closing, we got the only undefeated team left, Gonzaga. They're laying 23.5 points tonight on the road against Portland. Terry Porter's actually the coach of Portland, former Blazer, head coach of Portland University. Zags 19-0 is straight up, Steve, but pretty big money makers too, man. 13-3 against the spread.
Yes, and an incredible 19-0 team was actually 13-2 against the number until they failed to cover this past Saturday. They won by 21, only 21, as a 32-point favorite against Portland. So the question is, are the lines finally becoming a bit inflated? And obviously, we get a quick turnaround rematch here. They didn't cover, but they won easy. It's hard to know what their mindset is in this game.
Yeah, and Portland's without their best player. He's out. His career's finished. He's a senior, and he's done. They've lost five in a row, actually, Portland, by an average of 25.2 points per game. I was looking, kicking the tires on the over this one, Steve, but I'm not sure Portland will be able to score enough, actually.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga's the only way to play it. I mean, you hate playing a 20-some point road favorite that just beat the team 2 days earlier, but then again, they've been a money machine overall this season.
Steve Amaral, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts, says, Steve, next time we talk, I'm sure we'll have a couple of props up on the board. National Anthem. Have they announced the National Anthem yet? No.
I don't know. You know, I was thinking about that last night, but I don't know offhand. And, well, of course, at the Pro Bowl this week, and it's in Orlando, I believe.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. They're going back to the NFC-AFC format. I don't remember. Did they not have that format last year? That shows how much I care. I don't even remember.
Yeah, no, they're back to the AFC. No, they're back to the last couple of years.
They had Team Dion. That's right. Team Dion.
The fantasy draft. And yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah.
No, at least the AFC-NFC is better. Like, hey, I used to win a lot of money on the Pro Bowls. I'm looking interested in the total, but you know, Goodell's an idiot. Why is he in Orlando? It's supposed to be in Hawaii. Like, it's not rocket science, this stuff, man. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Man, everything's just upsetting me now. All right. Andrew Patterson, otherwise known as Hustler, will join us next. We'll talk Yordano Ventura. We'll talk about tonight's Winnipeg Jet Anaheim Duck matchup. And we got Paul Bovey. We'll talk Super Bowl as well as some NBA games tonight. We're running the gauntlet. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We should be joined by my boy Hustler in a moment or two. Evidently, his phone's busy right now. How can a phone be busy? Like, yeah, that's impossible. How can a phone be busy? Like, what, his old rotary phone? Like, there's no such thing. Like, it's impossible for a phone to be busy now. Like, who doesn't have call waiting? Like, unless you're on the line, like, I don't know. Can you get three calls at once on modern cell phones? So unless you're on the phone with two people at once and a third person is calling you, I don't understand how a phone can be busy nowadays. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems like it's impossible. Almost like it didn't make sense to me, the Pittsburgh Steelers game plan yesterday. Like, honestly, like, what the hell was Tomlin doing? Like, Terry Bradshaw said that, he's just a cheerleader. He's not a very good coach. He's a good coach, but he's not a great coach. He's a cheerleader. It was a little harsh in putting it in those terms. But the fact of the matter is, it's true. Tomlin does not adjust. He didn't have any adjustments. That's why Belichick is 6-1 against him now. It's freaking ridiculous. Oh, we'll just keep on working hard. Yeah, working hard. You guys, it wasn't like you weren't trying. You didn't have a game plan. The talent is all equal in the NFL, all right? The Steelers have more talent than the Patriots do. Belichick is just a great coach. Let's bring in Andrew Patterson right now. He was probably thinking to himself, what the hell are the Steelers doing? My Kansas City Chiefs would have matched up better against them. What's up, Hustler?
Oh, hey, Gabe, great to talk to you. And yes, I concur with that. That was two different weight classes of coaches last night in that AFC Championship game. And I was thinking about how the Chiefs blew it and how we would have been entertained, regardless of who you cheer for, to a much better football game if it was Andy Reid and the Chiefs on the other sidelines. But, at least we know who's playing in the Super Bowl now.
Yeah, I don't know. Was Mike Tomlin even wearing a headset yesterday? Like, I'm not even sure. Like, he seemed to be standing there with his hands in his pockets like he was just sort of on vacation or something like that. Yeah, I got got three timeouts, but no, why would I use my timeouts? I don't need to use the timeouts. We're only losing. We're only having a hard time here moving the ball. Like, you know, maybe they ever thought maybe I'll use some of these timeouts and bring my team together and say, all right, guys, you know, here's what we're going to do to get the ball in the end zone. They couldn't get the ball in the end zone last week against your Chiefs. Once again yesterday, it was the same crap. And I don't care whether Le'Veon Bell was there or not. They still would have screwed up and done stupid fade patterns and stuff.
Yeah, feel free, Tomlin, to mix in a QB sneak on the goal line every now and then, as opposed to completely telegraphing what you're doing and then ending up with a 3rd and 5 on a play that was almost a touchdown to begin with. Notice what Brady does on the thing. I mean, who would you rather have sneaking the ball, Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady? Well, apparently, Bill Belichick will go with Brady, and Tomlin will take his chances. Maybe Terry Bradshaw was right.
Terry Bradshaw was right. And this is Terry Bradshaw, of course, is the same man that can't spell the word cat unless you spot on the C and the T. So, in the words of Hollywood Henderson, I'm going back a ways right now, but Hollywood Henderson, former Dallas Cowboy, great. They were playing in the Super Bowl, Cowboys Steelers, I think it was like 78. And they said to Hollywood Henderson, hey, what do you think of Terry Bradshaw? And he said, he's so stupid he can't spell cat if you spot on the C and the T.
Yeah, well,
anyone that's watched that Fox pregame show, it's kind of hard to disagree. Like, that's the worst of the worst, those guys. You know, they're dressed up in NASCAR outfits.
After he said that, Tomlin cracked me up, actually, with his response to Terry Bradshaw, saying he was growing up a Cowboys and particularly a Hollywood Henderson fan. But to be honest with you, a much better comeback would have been having his crap together last night for a trip to Super Bowl 51.
Yeah, we should note that Hollywood Henderson freebased cocaine on the sideline of an NFL football game once. I hope that Tomlin did the same last night, because... really. I mean, the dude looks like Omar Epps. I would have rather had Omar Epps coaching that game last night. Maybe he knows more about football. But nevertheless, tragic news, Hustler. And, you know, it really hasn't sunk in for me yet, because I'm in a selfish, negative mode still about losing money on the Steelers game. But it'll sink in more even when the baseball season starts. But I'm not a Kansas City Royals fan, but I was a Yordano Ventura fan. And, you know, I caught on to Ventura when he was a rookie. I said, man, this kid reminds me of a young Pedro Martinez, actually. You know, skinny Dominican kid, a lot of swagger, great electric stuff. I don't think Yordano is as good. You know, Pedro is one of the best of all time, but Yordano's stuff was electric. The kid had balls of steel, wasn't scared of anybody, you know, and just was so much fun to watch, Hustler. I mean, you know, everyone hated him because, you know, he stirred the pot and he didn't care about the baseball code, but he was a lot of fun to watch, and he was a good teammate, and he was a big time pitcher, man. Help you guys win a World Series.
Yeah, it's just an unbelievable tragedy, Gabe. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Got up late yesterday morning, having a day off, and just about to get ready to kind of get into the pre-football mode, and was just hit with this news like a ton of bricks. And, certainly I'm close to a lot of friends in Kansas City. That city right now is just in a state of mourning. I mean, Ventura was one of these young stars that was such a big part of turning around 25 years of misery, taking a perpetually losing team, first of all giving a city hope that they might be a playoff team, and then coming up with two of the most magical postseason runs that you could possibly have, especially for a small market team that hadn't done anything since 1985. But Ventura was such a special player, and you kind of nailed it. I mean, to a lot of people and fans, and I think his teammates, he was sort of like that incorrigible younger brother that you couldn't help to love. Talent-wise, you nailed it. I mean, he was an absolute flamethrower. He was small in size, but he may have been 150 pounds. I'm pretty sure he thought that he was 250 pounds because he walked bigger, he talked bigger, and he had a sort of swagger and confidence that, you know, many people don't have. And make no mistake, he was a fireballer. He was also one of the biggest hotheads in the major leagues. That's why last year he was involved in 3 bench-clearing incidents in about 9 days. But it,
well,
it
there were times,
I mean,
if you remember, if you remember, Hustler, even his manager said, "Yeah, he's got. I'm talking to this kid." Like, he would upset his teammates at times because it would be a quiet July night, and Ventura would start throwing at people's heads and, you know, melting off. And but the thing is, he was entertaining, right? Like, he brought passion to the ballpark, and, you know, people, you know, all those codes and all this and that. And I like to see Marcus Stroman of the Jays offer his condolences too. And, you know, a lot of people in the media were pretty hard on him, actually. I'm sure, you know, they're not going to rehash some of the columns that he wrote, but I remember, like, people said, oh, they got to trade him, he's an embarrassment, you know, he's gone too far, he's not even that good, he's crazy, this kid. You know, yeah, that until he pitches shutouts in the World Series. And what's amazing is he pitched his best game in the World Series, that shutout, while right on his hat, man, said R.I.P.O.T. for Oscar Tavares, man. Getting goosebumps now. It's so sad, man.
It really is, and to be honest with you, that's one of my great, just as being a sports fan, aside from anything I've done in the business, that night I was at the cave sitting behind the home plate with a friend of mine, and it was one of the great great sporting experiences I've ever had. Of course, the Royals were down 3-2, looking to just get it to game 7, and with an early offensive explosion and some brilliance from Ventura, it was sort of like a victory lap and almost a pregame for the main